From KALW in San Francisco, I'm Max Jacobs. It's Liner Notes.
It's midnight and I'm still on my feet. I'm working so hard, but on my mind is a love so sweet. So many options staring me right in my eyes. Temptations talking, but it can't persuade my pride just because I'm in the band.
You're hearing the San Francisco band Cone Brio, my guest today on Liner Notes. I've been digging the music of Cone Brio for several years now, but the band has changed a little bit lately. They formed in 2009, put out a couple records, made a splash here in the Bay Area, but their lead singer decided to move on. In 2013, the band underwent a significant transformation, added several new members, including the then 19-year-old singer and phenom performer Zeke McCarter. In just a couple years, the band has been able to firmly establish a new identity, one that remains consistent to the sound of its founding members, a sound with a jazz backbone that pays respect to all things funky and soulful, but that demands you to stand up and watch what's happening. As we spin some records today, you'll get a sense of the different ways their music started to come together. For me, it seemed that so much was about the musical discoveries they made, even if they didn't know where those discoveries would take them, or in some cases, even the name of the song they just heard. At times, they had trouble containing the almost childlike joy in reminiscing about the music that mattered to them. Like learning about the song Maybe Your Baby.
And the song Maybe Your Baby actually is a song I sang when I was 18 and I went into the Boom Boom Room. I like got in underage. I sang that song.
That song is so good. It's so good.
And I thought so the band, I was singing it with Dave James, the guitar player for Afrofunk Experience. I thought it was their song. I was like, that's a great, and I was singing it the next day in the shower. Come to find out when I saw this video, this is a Stevie Wonder song.
That's just one of many tracks we're going to hear later on. Let's turn this back up, though, for their song Temptations Talking off their EP Kiss the Sun. Welcome back to Liner Notes on KLW San Francisco. I'm Max Jacobs, and today joining me in studio, two members of the San Francisco band Cone Brio, Zeke McCarter and Andrew Laubacker. Welcome, guys.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for taking the time. Can you guys start out by telling me what you each do in the band?
The singer, lead vocalist.
Yep, and I play drums.
And I've seen Cone Brio several times, and but it had been a couple years, and so the most recent time at your EP release, mm-hmm. I got a little confused by how many people were in the band.
Yeah, it grows. There's 7 of us, generally. It's 2 horns, sax, trumpet, drums, bass, keys, guitar, vocals. But at the independent show, we had 2 lovely ladies joining us.
To sing as well.
Yeah, so it blossomed to 9.
So it can change depending on the mood and the...
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the beginning. We haven't even gotten to like the explosions and...
Exactly.
the background dancers and I'm yeah, joking.
Exactly.
Live animals.
Yeah.
So I know that the Combrio has kind of existed for a little while. Andrew, you've been in the band for... How long have you been in the band?
Like 4 or 5 years or something like that.
Okay.
When I started, I guess. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Because I know there's been a little bit of a transformation in the band. Zeke, you're a little more recent to the band. How long have you been singing for them?
Oh, for I think we've been together for what? Going on 2 years now.
Yeah.
In April.
Okay. Yeah.
So how did you guys come together? How did you meet?
Well, Micah and I had been playing for a while. We used to study together and sit in at this jam session.
And Micah plays keys.
Plays organ, yeah. Micah, organ player. And he would sit in and I would sit in for a while. And for a while, we didn't really, like, talk. We would just sit together in the booth and Madrone studying. And then he played with me my monthly residency at the Boomer Room called the Soul Train Revival. So we had built up a relationship over time. And whenever the opportunity came, he reached out to me.
When you say studying, mm-hmm. what do you mean exactly?
Well, these are older cats, and they would allow us to sit in whenever, you know, the time was right.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just studying to see how the music was delivered and just the chemistry of a band and how they are, you know, everyone plays their job.
This is like live jazz performance?
This is a lot of jazz, funk, soul, R&B. These are older cats. There's a band by the name of Steppin' led by Oscar Myers. He's like in his 60s. And he did a monthly for like 6-7 years. Every Tuesday for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And it's like older cat. And all these other cats that a lot of people, like John, our bass player, studied under the bass player in that band. Micah, our organ player, studied under the organ player in that band. And I used to sit in with them. And sing with them.
Yeah. Heavy dudes. Yeah. It's a really good band.
Much respect to Jason Muscat and Will Blaith.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another. And
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we just kind of all met each other. It happened. They met that. And then I guess me and the guitar player, Ben, met on a random like recording set. I do recording stuff. And we met on like a session. And then I don't even know how... Who met Mark? How did... The horn players... I forget. They, like, just floated into our lives.
Yeah, it was Marcus and Henry, and I don't know who. I think maybe it was Micah. They had recently just come. I can't remember exact. It's about it. But, yeah, Marcus stuck around the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And Andrew met Brendan at a gig, right?
Yeah, at a gig. Yeah. So we kind of all came together. The band was, like, in flux and moving around. It's been a breathing entity. And now I feel like the last...
It's pretty solid now.
Yeah, exactly. The last couple of years, it's really been, like, it's formed itself. We've been...
Yeah.
The players have been coming in and everything like that. And it's just really solid group right now, which is great.
Yeah. Everyone's in it all the way.
Yeah.
But each of you, you didn't grow up in the Bay Area. Where did you start out? And how'd you end up out here?
2 of us did. Ben and Marcus, of course. I'm from Houston, Texas. I grew up in Texas. And Andrew's from Richmond.
Yeah, Richmond, Virginia.
Micah's from Vermont. And Jonathan is from New York.
Yep.
So we got all our bases covered.
Yeah.
Except Montana or the Dakotas.
Yeah, we need a Midwesterner. I ended up, you said how do we end up out here?
Yeah.
I went to school in Boston for a couple years and then ended up getting a gig with a band and started touring around. Ended up leaving school. And just started touring. And I did that for a while, like 6 or 7 years or something like that. And then when I made it out this way, I just kind of loved the city. And I was in a place to move. I didn't want to be in Boston anymore. And I moved out here. And it was a very good decision. I'm very happy with it. Yeah.
Zeke, how about you? How did you get out here?
I was fresh out of high school, and the opportunity came for me to go on tour, this benefit tour for autism with an artist that was pretty well connected. And it required me to move to San Francisco. I moved to San Francisco, but that fell through. So, and I thought I was going to head back, but something else took a turn. And I ended up sticking around and expanding and doing exactly what I wanted to do in an educational environment or institutionalized environment. I just did it on my own. So I kind of created my own Bay Area university.
In music.
And it's been hustling. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Zeke hit the ground running.
Exactly.
Well, we always start out the show by asking our guests to choose a memorable song from their childhood. And you guys brought in some pretty different but equally great songs.
Uh-huh.
I want to start with you, Zeke.
Uh-huh.
The classic Marvin Gaye song, Let's Get It On.
Yes.
What do you remember about hearing this for the first time?
I was in elementary school. I first heard it, and I remember, like, that's just, like, back in the day, like, where you had, like, I used to, like, talk on the fax line to friends and girls and stuff. And I remember I heard this song, and I played this for this girl. I was like, man, doesn't it make you feel so good? I wasn't, like, trying to, like, it can come across as that, but I was like, doesn't this make you feel good? And even another time I played it, my mother had this CD, these, like, old, like, 60s, 70s classic CDs, and we're at church, and the truck doors were open. And it really felt good to me. And I turned it on. So you're like, I've been really driving. After we just left church. So, and my mom came like, hey, you don't do that yet. But it always just resonated as a very sincere, genuine, vulnerable song that exuded a lot of just, even though it's, intimate and sexual, just the spirit of it is very raw. And I always admired that.
Well, let's listen to a little Marvin Gaye. Let's get it on. a little Marvin Gaye here on Liner Notes. Andrew, you brought in a much different song, but still equally influential in your musical education. What song do you want to play for us?
Yeah, so full disclosure, I just kind of picked a piece that I like. It's not necessarily exactly from the memory, but I'll explain the memory.
Piece,
exactly,
but...
it's not. So I picked Shostakovich Symphony No. 10, Movement 2. And the reason I did that is because the memory I have is that when I was really little, like probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 or something like that, maybe 5, but I think I was like 3 or 4. My mom used to do this thing with me. I was pretty rambunctious, is what she later told me. So she would always try to think of things to like keep me occupied.
Yeah.
But we used to do this thing that I grew to love where she would play classical music, generally classical music, in the house or in the car while she was doing whatever. And she would have me tell a story to the music. But I had to listen to it and then pick pieces of it. So, you know, if it was like an animal story, like the tubas would be elephants and the flutes would be little birds or whatever it might be, or the people and I'd have to like come up with a story and tell her. And that stuck with me both as a memory and also like sort of the way I interpret music a lot is I'm a pretty visual mm-hmm. listener. So I'll hear something and it'll make me think of an image. And then I'll even think of that image when I'm coming up with like a part or something. Or sometimes that image helps me remember how to play the song more than just like thinking of the actual musical elements of the song. I'll be like, oh yeah, that song makes me think of this. And then I'll be like, oh yeah, that's how I play it.
The story will come back to you a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was a pretty, that experience was very influential, and this piece I think is pretty exciting and expressive, and you could see how like a little kid would be able to make up a story to it, I think. So yeah.
I'm Max Jacobs, and you're listening to Liner Notes on KALW. Zeke McCarter and Andrew Laubacker from the band Combrio are sitting in the studio with me, and we've been spinning some records. One of the things I wanted to talk about is live performance, because I know that's such a big part of Combrio. And yeah, I was curious about some of the musicians whose performances specifically had an influence on your sound, or maybe how the band performs. Mm-hmm. One of the songs that you brought in, Zeke, is this really great, super funky old live recording, a Stevie Wonder song from 1972 from the PBS show Soul, which I did not know until you sent this song over to me.
Yeah.
And he just kind of rolls into everything. He doesn't really stop. I there was a review of when they released a taping of this, and the reviewer said, like, all of the bad production that the TV show did, like, could not stop how, like, great this performance. Like, all the psychedelic effects and the cheesiness, like, it didn't matter. It was just this raw Stevie, you know. How old were you when you discovered this?
This is when I moved here. I was doing a lot of research on Stevie and a lot of great artists, and I just stumbled upon that. So I was about, like, what, 18, 19 when I saw that, and it was just, he was existing far beyond time, far beyond just like you said, poor production maybe of TV shows at that time. He was just there. And it really amazed me to see how fluid he was and how fluid the band was. He would, like, choose a direction, and then they would go there easy. And it was, I don't know, I really loved it. And the song Maybe a Baby actually is a song I sang when I was 18 and I went to the Boom Boom Room. I, like, got in underage. I sang that song.
That song is so good. It's so good.
And I thought so the band, I was singing it with Dave James, the guitar player for Afrofunk Experience. I thought it was their song. I was like, that's a great, and I was singing it the next day in the shower. Come to find out when I saw this video, this is a Stevie Wonder song. And I love it.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of that Stevie Wonder, and then I'd also love to hear another song from your latest release.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's check out the song Never Be the Same right after some Stevie Wonder.
Thanks.
That was a medley of Maybe Your Baby and Superstition performed by Stevie Wonder on the show Soul in 1972. Zeke McCarter, frontman for the band Cone Brio, picked that one out for us. Let's give a listen to one of the tracks off their new EP, Kiss the Sun. This one's called Never Gonna Be the Same. So you guys brought in so much great music for this show, and there's just a long list of vocalists that you took inspiration from. I mean, it's impossible to choose from, right? Curtis Mayfield, D'Angelo, and then some contemporaries too, Bruno Mars and Janelle Monáe. I wanted to focus on her for a second, partly because I feel like she doesn't quite get the love from the mainstream radio and media that some of the other like contemporary soul R&B singers.
Yeah.
So what do you take from a singer like her?
Janelle Monáe's her what she releases, they take you on a journey. They really, every single instrument sound is it takes you on a journey. And I like her most recent album, Electric Lady.
Yeah, from 2013.
Yeah. And it's crazy, Andrew and I went to go see her when she came to San Francisco. We were just like, yo, this is kind of what we want to do, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, for sure.
And her messages, some people may have their views about it, but I love the fact that she's holding it down in a way that no other female artist is doing right now. No other artist in general is doing right now in regards to her production and just her own style. And just overall, it's not just her singing. It's not just her dancing. It's not just her guitar player or her bass player. It's just the whole experience as a whole. It's much bigger than Janelle Monáe. And I love that because they all play off of each other well. And that's something that we really aspire to do.
Say it's alright.
We were Rock and Roll by Janelle Monáe here on Liner Notes. I'm Max Jacobs. Two members of the band Cone Brio have been joining me to talk about their musical influences and how they've shaped their sound. One of their newest songs, Give It All, holds special significance for the band.
It really was a first, I think, anthem for us. Was pretty big. I think, I don't know if we closed our first show with that or not. No, well, we didn't do it with that.
But like when you felt like the band was cohesive.
Yeah.
It was our first, it felt like an anthem for us, and it struck a very sensitive place for me and also stood as like a motivator for at least as we move forward as a band, as a reminder, like we should give it all.
Yeah.
When we're on stage, when we're in the studio, when we're everywhere, as we should give our all to this project as well.
Yeah, we take a lot away from that, for like just thinking that way and trying to always push ourselves, both on and off the stage. I think we all have that desire, and it got funneled through that song really well, from the lyrics to the production to the delivery of the vocals and the band and. It's a nice little capsule for where we are right now in time and how we're feeling about what we want to project and like put out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you want people to take away from it or from your sound in general?
I don't know if I like to get that particular. I mean, Zeke, we could speak to that a little bit more as like the lyricist. I generally, especially the shows, and with the music, we've talked about this a little bit as a band, even that. My biggest thing is that I want everyone to feel involved and included in it, like to be an inclusive band with the audience and with people like come to the show or listen to the record, enjoy it, maybe have it strike something in you, just have fun with it or whatever it might be. Yeah. But, you know, you're involved and you're included, and it's not like a certain person or a certain thing that we're trying to do. It's everybody can be involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well said. Yeah.
Like a thief in the night, you got me for everything, yeah. Now all I've got is a love that to get me through the day, so by the time the moon sings, I'll be headed your way too. Give it all to you, don't you know I will. Give it all to you now, don't you know I will. Give it all to you, yeah. After all we've been through, I'll give it all, give it all. Thank you.
You're listening to Liner Notes on KALW San Francisco.
Combrio just participated in this project, the Undercover Presents, which is essentially all these artists get together and, you know, cover like a classic album, and each band performs a different song. Mm-hmm. And so most recently they did Stand, the 1969 Sly album. And you guys were tasked to perform the song Sex Machine, which is like a almost 14-minute long instrumental song, but you guys really recreated it. I mean, you gave it lyrics. So I'm wondering if you can talk about like that process. I mean, it was really like it was a great recreation of that song, mm-hmm. but I could also imagine it being a little intimidating too to take that on.
Definitely.
Yeah. It was in the beginning. We were playing around with it for so long, and it got to the point where I just kind of like, in a way, I put my hands up. I was like, you know, this is an instrumental song anyway. I don't have to do anything. To check back into reality. And it just boiled down to, like, we wanted to establish something that embodied, I guess, the title more so than just the jam.
Yeah.
We really mm-hmm. focused in on the title.
Right.
And worked through that vein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we came at it from that angle, and we actually we listened to some music. We were like bashing our heads against the wall, and nothing was really happening. And we just kind of stopped for a minute, and we listened to some music. We kind of talked about it, and then I feel like Zeke and Micah and Ben, the guitar player, just like caught this inspiration, and like this stuff kind of started happening between the three of them, and one person would like have this one initial idea, and then it kind of evolved. And some of the songs we've been listening to, the way the keys player was playing, like Micah kind of zeroed in on that kind of feel, and it kind of led to a thing. And you know, it was different time signature, we had added sections, mm-hmm. we wrote a whole song. It's basically like our it's like an homage to that song is the way we like to look at it too, more than a cover, because it really did change a lot, and it was from meditating on that song and what we thought the title could mean and what we could project with it and stuff.
And so, you changed the name a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sex Supreme.
Yeah. Which is like another little tip of our hat to the great John Coltrane.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it seemed like, in particular, adding words to that song was a big step to it.
Zeke is the words man. Yeah.
Can you take me through that a little bit?
Man. It all came in that time so fast. That was actually a lot of songs from Kiss the Sun, like, just the lyrics came out just like breathing, but specifically for that one, because we didn't have that much time, we were under the pressure of like, we're the last band that got put on, and thanks to Will Maggot, we got put on at the last minute. So we had like 2-3 days until we were supposed to be in the studio. So at that time, for me, it was like, how do I lock into the essence of that title? So I just tapped into a divine and intervention, you know, of two lovers at any particular setting, but specifically they were dancing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's how, and it was inspired. What I did was I took a lot of the melodies from all of the songs from that record. So, from Stan. So, that's what is that? Sing a Simple Song. So I'm talking in my sleep, and then we can reach the highest high, and that comes from You Can Make It If You Try.
Yeah.
And some other lyrics down the line that were inspired by different melodies from that record. So it was really tipping my hat off to slide in the Family Stone, but also making it Combrio.
I wanted to go out with your song, the title song of the release, "Kiss the Sun." What were you guys hoping to do with, or why did that song become like the statement of the record?
"Kiss the Sun." It would like I said, like a lot of the lyrics for it was just like breathing. And we were just sitting in Andrew's room actually when that concept came to me. Like it really plays off of the allegory of the cave and also the flight of the phoenix. And me just like we're this is like we're first getting together, you know, and just dreaming up the wildest, most ambitious ideas and having the courage to say we can do that. So the equivalent of that is we will kiss the sun.
Exactly.
So you tell someone you're going to do, they're like, what? But a lot of our lives, you know, everyone, at least I think I really relate with Andrew the most because we didn't take the most traditional route. So for our lives, it was like we were kissing the sun. We were going to gamble. We're going to take a chance on with our heart and pursue what we believe in. Not that no one else has done that. I'm speaking specifically on the way that him and I have done it.
Yeah.
So that's what it kind of means.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a great way to go out. Before we hear that, thanks so much for coming in and playing music for us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Yes, it was. Thank you so much, Max.
That was Zeke McCarter and Andrew Laubacker of the San Francisco band Cone Brio. If you dug what you heard, check them out next month at the Fillmore with Galactic on March 7th. And then again on May 30th at the Bottle Rock Music Festival in Napa. We'll post info about that at our website, klw.org. Thanks to Kevin Vance, who is our studio engineer. Before this last song, a reminder to come back next week for a new artist, a new set of records, and a new story. It's Liner Notes. Lift your head to the sky and get yourself a taste of